Okay, always good to be in the house of the Lord, amen? And as we come together this morning, just want to share about challenges today. But as we know, we face many challenges. There's always something that comes up against us, isn't there? But praise God, He's there. And He's given us His word, His word for us to follow as an instruction that we might learn by example. And we don't want to learn the hard way, do we? But God has laid it all out there and to, so that we can follow His word and just look to Him that He will do above what we ask or expect or think. But as I said, today I just want to draw on the experience of the Israelites. And we know that the Israelites turned out to be a disobedient people. And it didn't start that way. When they first went out, they were full of faith and they left the Egyptians, come out of the bondage of slavery and captivity, and they started to enter the promised land. But along the way, they got lost, didn't they? They lost their way because they started to drift away from the things of God, didn't they? And not to follow all the ordinances of the things that God had already laid out for them, they started to forget about God and just go into idolatrous sort of worship and all that sort of thing. but right from the very point of time when we first accepted the invitation of Jesus Christ to abide in us and to be with us and for us to abide in His presence. The invitation from Christ was to walk in His ways, wasn't it? We know that. And from the very first time, we start off well, don't we? But often we just fall by the wayside a bit. But right from that moment when we said yes to Jesus Christ, I want to be a part of your kingdom. I want to be a child of yours. The invitation to us was to walk in God's ways, to follow His commands, and just to be with Him, to be a follower or a disciple of His, and just to enjoy this newfound freedom that Christ has given it, and to be blessed. And just to walk in a state of blessedness. And so I feel that today that the challenge God puts before us, God will always go before us, amen? I'm sure you believe that. You do. That God will always go before us and He will always open the way for us. That's His promise, isn't it? Because what did He say? He said, yea, I will be with you. And that's a promise that we cling to, that we have that hope, that expectant hope that God, and we know that God's word is true, God's word is sure, and so we know, we have that confidence and that God will be with us, because as I just said, that's His promise, and so we have to claim that promise and walk in the promise of victory all the time, amen, and just to follow God's way. But you might remember that if we were to look back, God gave the Israelites every help and opportunity, didn't He? He laid it all out for them. He just said, go and enter into the promised land. And that was God's word and His promise. He said, I will be with you, I'll help you, all those sorts of things. And we know how God spoke to Moses and shared so much with him. And He just said, go and enter into the promised land. And so as we know that God met with Moses in a powerful way, didn't He? And face to face, so to speak. But so there we've seen where God set everything in order for Moses to lead them out and to begin the journey, and the most of all, to enter in. And Pastor Patricia shared a bit about that last week, about entering into God's presence. Where are we? Where do we stand? Are we in God's presence? And if we believe that, well, we have to walk in that way, don't we? And to be there. But God gave them the assurance there and there. But we've seen that. We see where Moses, he was leading the Israelites out of Egypt and arriving out at Mount Sinai, where God spoke to Moses there and showed him everything, you know. And so it was all laid out, and we know that God gave Moses the tablets with the law written on them. They had that instruction. It was all there laid out. And all God said was, walk in my ways, do this. And so they laid out. And so we've seen there in the mount when Moses went with God there, you know, that they received the law. God gave them the law. He gave them the tabernacle, and they received the priesthood. And God said, this is the way I want you to live. And if we read in the book of Exodus there in chapter 19, that God just speaks so clearly there to Moses, and he says to him in Exodus chapter 19, and verses 4 onwards. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you will obey me and keep my covenant and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on the earth. For all the earth belongs to me, and you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nations. And he said, this is the message you must give to the people of Israel. And so we see and we know how Moses came down and from the mountain with all this tabernacles. But what did Moses come back to? He came back to a whole disarray of people, disobedient people, who had just lost touch with God in such a short time, and they just went wild, didn't they? We've seen that there. And so it was probably one of the lowest points in Moses' life, I feel, when after being in such the holy presence of God, and he came back with the covenant, the glory of God that shone all around him, and he just carried that, and he walked into this camp of such a disobedient people who had just gone astray. But as we see there, this is God laid that out, and he said, this is what I want you to be. This is what sort of people will be. And you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nations. And this is the message you must give to the people of Israel. And so Moses delivered that message, as we know. But of course, they didn't live that way, did they? They didn't live God's way. They allowed disobedience to come in and to hinder God's promise of leading them directly into the promised land. It was such a short journey, but it turned out to be such a long journey, didn't it? And for many years, they just wandered around aimlessly, only because of their disobedience and not abiding by God and his promise and in his ways. And so even today, nothing's changed since then, isn't it? We've all heard God's way. Many people come to know Christ and start off well, and then they fall away. It's so sad, isn't it, when people fall away? But as I said, the message for us is still the same. It's still the same message, isn't it? That God wants us to be an obedient people, a faithful people, a people who will serve him, a people who will praise him, a people who will worship in every way. And the invitation is there. Come unto me, all who are laden, and I will give you rest. The words of Jesus Christ himself. And he said that. And we know that if we're carrying a load, if there's a burden, what does Jesus say? Lay it at the feet. lay it at the foot of the cross. And that's what we're encouraged to do if things get too heavy for us. And we just want to offload or dump. Well, God says, here, dump it all before me, lay it at my feet. But so what we've seen is particularly with the Israelites, and as I said, it's the same thing happens today. Nothing's sort of changed. Everyone seems to do things which are right in their sight. And that happens so much, doesn't it? But as we've seen, the Israelites, they done what they thought was right, what they felt was right, but it was wrong. It wasn't God's way. And so we're in the book of Judges, we've seen there just the mess the Israelites got themselves into through disobedience. And today I encourage us, you know, we don't want to be that sort of people, do we? We don't want to fall into traps and all that sort of thing and just repeat the cycle that they were in all that time and getting into trouble, just crying out to God again and to say, saying to Lord, Lord, get me out of this mess I've got myself in. But, you know, that was the cycle they were in. And they just seemed to just repeating that, doing what was right in their own eyes. And they couldn't deal with their failures. But God's given us a way. God has given us an answer through the love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ who came to a hurting world. And that's what God wants for each one of us today, that we'll just completely surrender our lives to Him to Christ. But as we know, you know, the Israelites compromised on the Word of God, as I said, which was the result of doing what was right in their own eyes. And if you look in in the book of Psalms, Psalm 120 onwards, there's 15 psalms just there. They're exalting the things of God, and they're a powerful passage of psalms. Here, the ascension psalms, they're called, but I think they're just a really great collection of psalms there. And they're all... Immediately, most of these 15 psalms, they're all about praising God. And it starts off here, I took my troubles to the Lord. I cried out to Him and He answered my prayer. And I feel that's we need to be all that way. Sorry about that. But, you know, when as I said, if we've got a burden, if we want to offload, Here's the answer here, where the psalmist said, he said, I took my troubles to the Lord, I cried out to Him, and He answered my prayer. And that's what I encourage you today, to be like the psalmist, to have that faith, to rest and to let the Lord take care of him. He said, I look up to the mountains, and where does my help come from? Again, the exhortation, the extolling the greatness of God. He says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Always uplifting and acknowledging how great a God we serve. And Psalm 122 begins, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And now we are here, standing inside your gates, O Jerusalem. Again, a promise of coming into the house of God. We're a privileged people, aren't we? How we can all come together like this today. We can meet in such a way we have the freedom to come in to worship and to do whatever we feel here today. I think you're going to strangle me, Gary. What am I knocking it too much? Okay, again, as I just said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That's where we want to be found, don't we? In the house of the Lord. And so we just have this wonderful privilege and opportunity of coming here every week. And many times during the week, just to be able to do the be in the things of God, everything that God has for us there. And again, And in Psalm 123 it says, I lift my eyes to you, O God enthroned in heaven. We keep looking to the Lord our God for his mercy. Just as the servants keep his eyes on their master, as a slave girl watches her mistress for the slightest signal, he has mercy on us. Lord, have mercy, for we have had our fill of contempt. We have had more than our fill of scoffing of the proud and the content of the arrogant. And so again, there, the promise that the key word is, I lift my eyes to you, O God enthroned in heaven. And Psalm 124 says, what if the Lord had not been on our side? And we know we can say that today. What would happen if I hadn't surrendered my life to the Lord? You know, we could have taken a terrible turn in life, couldn't we? And we wouldn't have worked out. We wouldn't be in this place today. But again, we have that assurance. Where would we be without the Lord? And Psalm 125 says, those who trust in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion. They will not be defeated, but will endure forever. Amen? So that's a mighty powerful promise. Those who trust in the Lord, we're secure. It's set that God is with us, and we're not going to be defeated, and God will give us the strength to endure. And Psalm 128 says, how joyful are those who fear the Lord, who always follow his ways. And we will always be joyful if we're in the presence of God and if we follow his ways. It says you will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. What a powerful promise again. And there, and it goes on to say many things. And there, but I think I'll leave that part there. But as we know, the David was always crying out to God. And he said, from the depths of despair, O Lord, I call for your help. Hear my cry, O Lord. And he again reminds God, he says, pay attention to my prayer. But in amongst all that, even the many times that David reminded God, he always exalted God, and he always said, you're my God, you're my God. Many times he just reaffirmed his belief and faith and hope in his God. He knew who his God was. We need to know who our God is, how awesome our God is, how powerful our God is, and that God is here, and God will be with you. He'll go before us. He's all around us, and he's our very omnipresence around us all the times. But like I said, in amongst those powerful psalms, we see many things there, don't we? If we were to read them fully, it'll again remind us things in our own lives that we just need to deal with. And but if you were to read them all, you'd get a lot of insight into the way that we just need to grow and develop our character, our lives there. We just need to build upon things, and that's where the challenge is, isn't it? To face we always need to do more. And we know life is filled with challenges, don't we? Every day we come up against something or someone who's going to impede us or slow us down or get in our way or, as I just said, impede our walk with God. There's always something, isn't it, that seems to come up against us when we're full of faith, full of belief, just reaching out, believing God of everything, and you go out, you start the day, and boom, something will come up against us and turn us and just knock us back, doesn't it? It happens quite regularly. But that's where our faith needs to rise, isn't it? That's what it says about, you know, lift up my eyes. Where does my strength come from? It comes from the Lord. And that's so we just have to be there and to take that on there. But we know that All we have to do, you know, we need to grow in the things of God. Our brother mentioned that this morning so much, but that's what our walk in God is all about, isn't it? We're to grow and grow and grow and keep growing, aren't we? It's about getting our foundations right and see that God has purposed and fashioned our lives to serve Him and our generations. And that's what our we are here to serve God, aren't we? And that, but as I say, and just remind ourselves, you know, that as we get our foundations right, this is the platform that we can launch ourselves on, and we'll continue to build upon and grow in Jesus Christ in every area of our lives, because God wants us to grow so much, to learn all about His plans and purposes that He has for each one of us, and to continue to walk in His way. And we just don't want to see this time of purpose. God's got a plan and purpose for our lives. We know that. You've heard it been said many, many times from this platform. But we just don't want to see that this time of purpose, this time that God has got for us as a time where it's a good thing to do, but we want to just see it as a time where God's building our character, and that we're growing in the things of God in every way, and see it as a time that God's ordained for us, a time, you know. We all enjoy seasons, don't we, in the physical. We have the seasons of the year. We enjoy each one for its own special reason, but there's seasons in the things of God where God does amazing things. And I only have to go back to our days when we lived in Newman there, and we're building the church there, and people coming in and people getting saved. It was just such an amazing time. It was sort of unbelievable in many ways how people were getting saved. The roughest, toughest blokes you could imagine, some of these guys working in the mining and on the railway line maintenance camps, you know, all they done was work and drink. You know, a lot of them, that was their life. But, you know, when you see some of these guys that came to know Christ and go back out and speak to other, testify about, you know, the life. And we're at one of these camps one night many years ago, and Kevin was, and he had been a pretty hard boy. And he said, he was testifying, telling his testimony, and one guy started to laugh. He said, "You can laugh all you like, mate." He said, "I was like you." He said, "I used to be like you, mimicking and who and everyone else." He said, "But God touched my life and changed my life." That man's in the United Kingdom now. I think they adopted 11 children or something. And he's doing a powerful work over there, in a church over there. So what am I saying is that, you know, we just need to grow in the things of God. As God speaks into our life and to touch us, and that these seasons, the times that we do enjoy, treasure them. Because time goes by so quickly, doesn't it? Our memory fades. But we need to treasure the things that God has done in our lives and touched us many ways, like when we first got saved, our baptism and all that sort of thing. We treasure those times, don't we? Things, they're precious memories with us. But we need to these, as I said, you know, we don't want to let these things fade away and become dull in our lives. And all these godly principles, these things that got so much that God has sown into us, we don't want to lose it, do we? You know, Paul says we are treasures in earthly vessels. We're earthly vessels in clay jars, and we're a fragile people, aren't we? But as we know, things can break and disappear so easily. But we don't want to disappoint God, do we? in our walk with him, in all our ways. And God's invested so much into us, and I'm sure God's heart aches and he grieves when people fall away and turn their back on him. And we know ourselves, we've all experienced that. We all know someone who's just fallen away, and it hurts us so much, doesn't it, when we see them just fall by the wayside. And so in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14 there, it speaks about a call for spiritual growth. And here the Apostle Paul, he's crying out for us, and he's really getting into the new believers there. But it's a lesson for us. This word's a lesson for us not to be like that, not to fall away. But here in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 onwards, I'll read 11 onwards. There is so much more we would like to say, but this is... about this, but it's difficult to explain since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. And so there was a real concern then but the apostle had to address this. It obviously hurt him, it grieved him, and he had to be pretty hard on the people. But he said, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God. He said, you are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. And for someone who lives on milk is still an infant and does not know how to do what is right. And he said, solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. And that's what it's all about. God wants us to grow in every way so that we can decipher, we can discern right and wrong. We don't want someone coming up to us and giving us a whole view of their theory or whatever, and they got it all back to front and all wrong. And if they are saying this, we need to be able to discern what is right and wrong, and to be able to discern good teaching from bad teaching. We don't want to be led down the wrong path. But as the apostle says there, you know, it's time to grow up, isn't it, for all of us? We just need to take so much of on board and more of the things of God. And so we just need to absorb the goodness of God, and Paul just had to remind him of that. And he said, you've got to reign in Christ. You've got to reign victorious. He said, I don't want you to be going around and still in the wilderness, wandering around, going around in circles and not getting anywhere. He's saying the life is not about dullness. We're lights of the world, aren't we? And we need to be that light, and we want to be flickering out. It's about shedding the life of Jesus Christ, isn't it? The light and the love of Christ, and to lead a purposeful life. And that's why James says, what does he say? Don't be doers of the word, but be obedient to the word. But to be doers of the word, to be examples of the word, and to be obedient. And so there, but as we know that it's all about being obedient to God, isn't it? Walking in his way, following his examples, and to upholding his word, and to be good there. And as I said, obedience is a wonderful thing. We find it hard sometimes to be obedient. To if someone asks us to do something, you might give them a stupid look or a bad look or something. But obedience is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing in the kingdom of God. Amen. Where when we're obedient to God and in every way, it's powerful, because you know we're doing what God wants us to do and being the sort of people that God wants to be. And so we see all of those psalms there, if we were to read them all, we would just see what a powerful example that they are there. But as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, it says there, "Now these things became our examples." Elder Lewis spoke about that this morning. And it says again, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." So the warning's there that, you know, we have to just follow the example of what God asks us to do and be the people that God wants us to be. But here, this passage, it just talks there about the journey of Israel, and these are some of the lessons that we need to learn. I'll go back to chapter 10 in the book of Corinthians, and it says here, starting at verse 6, it says, "These things happened as a warning to us, so we would not crave evil things as they did, or worship idols as some of them did. As the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in every pagan revelry." And that was the situation when Moses came down from the mount. That's what he was confronted with. This is what was going on. And it goes on to warn us there about the things that we mustn't do. And we must not engage in sexual immorality, as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Whew, that's powerful. Now we should, verse 9 says, now should we put Christ to the test? No, we don't tempt God, do we? We don't tempt God, as some of them did, and they died from snake bites. Well, we don't tempt God. Verse 10 says, "And we don't grumble as some of them did, and then they were destroyed by an angel of death. And these things happened to them as examples to us." These were examples for us, that if we refrain from all these things, we're going to do well in life. We will do well, because that's God's way. And it says in verse 12, "If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall." It's easy to fall, isn't it? The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. We all have that potential to fall away and to fall to temptation. But here it said, "And God is faithful." Amen. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. And that's how I started off my message this morning, that God will always make a way. God will always show a way, that he will give us the strength to endure. And that's what I encourage you with this morning. And that's what the apostle here is encouraging all of us with today. This word, as I said, just wasn't for the Israelites. It's for us today, isn't it? It's for us today. We have probably thousands of times more things in front of our lives to tempt us and to get us away from the things of God. There's so much being thrown at us every day, isn't there? And so the apostle says, "So my dear friends," that's the heart of Paul there. He's pleading, he's reaching out. He's saying, "So my dear friends, flee from the worship of idols. You are reasonable for people. Decide for yourselves if what I am saying is true." He says, "When we bless the cup at the Lord's table, aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ? And when we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the body of Christ? And though we are many, we all eat from the one loaf of bread, showing that we are one body." Again, that was what Elder Lewis spoke about, that unity and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship. And as Lewis said, unity is such a wonderful thing, a powerful thing, a precious thing. Treasure it, people. Don't let it happen there. And so it goes on to warn us about things, that we're not to become these idolaters. You know, we shouldn't lust after evil things. If it's evil, it's not good, is it? And it speaks there about tempting Christ and all those things there. And moving, come to an end. But again, it also a solemn reminder there. You know, it says, "Let us nor let us murmur." We murmur at times, don't we? People murmur. Rumors get around. Untruths and things get very complicated. And murmuring in the body, causing disunity, all that type of thing. It's just not on, is it? It's not on. Again, as the Word of God encourages, it says, let us not murmur. If you can't speak well of someone, well, don't speak anything. So these are just basic things that we are told what not to do in the Christian life. We know what we have to do because God has given us the example. We are to follow in His way, walk in His way, and do that. And as I say this morning, I say to you, church, you know, we are not an Israelite people, are we? We are not. We're not wandering in a wilderness. God has shown us the way. We're here this morning. We're all in one accord to come to praise and worship God. And, you know, we're a Jesus-loving people. Amen. We're a Spirit-filled people. And God has given you a wonderful family, a family, extended family of believers who we can say, you're my brothers and sisters. We can say that to every one of you today, that you're my brothers and sisters. We can all say that the same about each other. So that we know we can come together, we have the fellowship, the priesthood of believers. It's a powerful thing, just coming together and just sharing together, having that fellowship, coming together in every way where we just praise and worship God and we hear the truth of the Word. Amen. And so this morning again, I just encourage you with all God wants for us is to enter into His presence and to share and to bask in His glory, to receive His blessing and blessedness and to live His way. Amen? So, Father God, again, we just praise You, Lord, that as we just read Your Word, Lord, it shows us so much, so clearly. There are no ifs and buts. Your ways are not our ways. And neither are my ways Your ways. So, Father God, we just pray, Lord. Lord, we'll always be found in Your presence. We'll always be found in Your ways. Lord, we continue to, might continue to grow in every way. We build upon the principles and the foundations that You've laid in our lives, Lord. Lord, that we will never fall away. We won't be afraid this way or that way, Father. Lord, we'll stand strong in Your presence, Lord, and always have that hope and the expectancy of knowing that You are with us and that You will show us Your ways. You will continue, Lord, just to have Your hand. You will lift out Your hand for us to take hold of and cling to and to just walk behind You, Lord, and to follow in Your way and to look to You for our help and strength. So, Lord, we just bless You. We just thank You this day, Lord, as Your people, that we can come together, Father. Lord, we can bring our praise, our worship, Father, our tithes, our offerings, everything, Father. Lord, that we just might give back to You to serve You as a people, a generation, and for generations to come, Lord. Lord, that we might be a holy people, that we will be a holy nation, a people who will honor and worship our living God. Amen. Amen.